The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you wish to watch us on live stream, you can do that. Just go to ESPN975.com. Click on Watch Us on Livestream. If you miss the first hour, you miss the fact that Zhong Li is back and did all kinds of strange things over in Asia.
Oh, yes.
Very entertaining, I might add. And that's about it. And please quit texting me to ask me if you're on the Do Not Read list. There's only six of you on there. And by now, you've probably figured out who you are because you haven't had your text read in months. I haven't added anyone in like 3 months, so 713-780-3776. So what do you want to do here? We got the roster projection, or we got some college football plays? What do you feel like?
Let's do some college football.
Okay, because I've got some games that I just want to get your thoughts on, because, okay, you know, I don't always, but I did my first run through on everything, and now I got to find them. Here we go.
Because college football starts when? Thursday?
Yeah.
Dude, how awesome is that?
I know.
I mean, I know Rice played a game and some stuff.
Yeah,
like
that doesn't count. So here's my first game I'm looking at. Troy at home against Boise, +12.5 for Troy, who had a fantastic season last year. That coach is going to be getting a big job. The computer says the number should be 8, so the spread's not really that different. But I'm getting 12.5. I know Boise's pretty good, but so's Troy. And
yeah,
it's at home. What do you think?
I don't hate that. It's actually not a game that I've looked at a lot yet, but Boise is on that list of teams that I'm definitely not looking to bet on.
Yeah.
Especially early on in the season.
Yeah. And these are kind of off the radar games. There's one.
It's a road game. I would have actually liked a few more points, but given it's a road game, that's actually like a home game for Troy, that's actually not a bad total.
Okay. I do have a couple of big games, so they're not all this.
That's all right. I have a game for I've got a game already for Thursday.
Okay.
I've got a game.
Who do you have?
I've got Tulane over Wake Forest.
That is the third game on my list. Tulane, okay, +6 against Wake Forest.
Yeah, and that opened at 7. I would have liked to get that 7. But
I might even money line Tulane there. I like Tulane a lot in that spot.
I like Tulane there. I like also on Thursday again. I like Northwestern against Purdue.
All right, here's another one I kind of like. Butch Davis and Florida International +10.5 at home against Indiana. He turned that team around pretty well last year.
He really did do a good
job.
It's
year two.
And that's a good coach.
Yeah. And Indiana's not a good football program.
No.
So you're getting 10.5 with that. I'll take FIU there.
Okay.
Here's one I want your opinion on because I'm iffy on it. I'm kind of liking Lane Kiffin +21 against OU. A new quarterback for OU. And I don't know what Kyler Murray is. All I know is what I saw at A&M wasn't very impressive. Doesn't mean he's not going to be better, but is he going to be Baker Mayfield right off the bat? And Florida Atlantic's pretty decent.
Yeah, they're not bad.
So
yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I haven't looked at playing it yet, but that's something that I've been anticipating doing. So it wouldn't shock me if that's on my plays list.
This one no one else will be interested in, but I have Appalachian State +24.5 at Penn State. That, that number should be around 13, according to the computer. So,
plus 24 and a half?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And finally, I do have one favorite I am going to play. I think UCLA is going to absolutely maul Cincy. I think Chip Kelly is going to try to run up the score in his first game there.
I'm kind of leaning the other side.
But Cincy is not the same program.
At 17?
I've got it at 15.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe I might be with you there.
Yeah, so.
What's your current number on the U versus LSU?
-3 is what I'm seeing.
-3
Miami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they opened up at +1.5, and I felt like that was
free money. And that number's gone all the way through now, so.
Yeah, so it's probably a no play for me at this point, but. And then my first total of the year.
Yeah.
Hawaii and Navy over 59.
I like that. I also kind of like Hawaii there. Already got a road win, and I know Navy's pretty good, but Hawaii is, you know, that is such a home field advantage. I might take Hawaii because I'm getting 11.5 points.
What are your thoughts on now that we've seen Rice one game, 24 points against Houston?
Boy, if
that's a lot of points,
it's a lot of points. But if you watch that game. I think I won't play this, but I'm pretty sure that I would go UH. Okay. I just think Rice is dreadful.
And, they're really, really bad.
And that, you know, it's nice that they got a game in, but I don't see Major taking his foot off the gas in this game, and I certainly don't see whose name I shall not speak taking his game foot off the gas either. So, yeah, I think UH is going to romp there.
I've also looked at San Diego State +14.
Yeah, I kind of gave that one a look. Yeah.
I have looked at Ole Miss getting 2.5 against Tech.
Yeah, that one interests me. I'm a little interested in Army +13.5 at Duke.
I'm interested in the under there.
Yeah, in fact, that's probably going to be the play because Duke's defense is pretty good. And I think Army's going to run the ball. But I don't know that if it were 14.5, I might like Army, but at 13.5, I'm kind of like, you could easily get that backdoor late touchdown and get hosed on that.
Thoughts on Longhorn -13.5?
Man, I don't know what to make of this game. I my gut tells me take Bevo, but yeah, I don't think with all the turmoil that's gone on in Maryland, I have no idea what that team's going to be. They're either going to rally around their guys and put up a good effort. I can't imagine Texas losing to these guys again. And I think Ellinger will play a good game. I think 13.5 is a little much. I'd like to see it under 10.
Yeah.
But
I think it opened it around 11. And that that's not a bad spot.
And I think it went up because of what's going on in Maryland.
I think so, too.
But if you stuck a gun to my head, I'd take the Horns.
By the way, I was just kidding. That UH number is now to 25.
Yeah, that's.
Good golly. Yeah, I don't think much of UH this year coming into the season, but
I don't either. But
we got lucky to see Rice first.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be hammering Rice right now
and probably losing.
Probably so.
Because I'm the same way. If I hadn't seen that game, 25 points, I'm taking that. But I saw enough of Rice to realize that
they're really, really bad.
They had no business beating Prairie View.
Yep.
I mean, that's scary. Let's see what else we got on the slate here. Can you believe Rutgers is a 16.5 point favorite over anybody?
No.
Texas State.
I'll take Texas State there.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way. Here's another team I like a little bit. I think UMass is a lot better than people think. They already have a game under their belt, granted against a nothing team.
Yeah.
+18 at Boston College.
Ain't anything special.
Yeah, Boston College is nothing to write home about.
No.
And UMass is a team I rode a lot last year, especially when they played Power 5 schools. They did pretty well. They surprised some people. So I may look that way.
I think USC absolutely hammers UNLV.
Yeah, I'm seeing 26.
Yeah, I think you're probably safe.
Yeah, you probably are.
Maybe, is it the game of the week, Auburn-Washington?
It is for me.
I think it's the game I'm most interested in.
I think it's
seeing.
The best game of the week.
-1.5, Auburn.
Yeah, it's at Atlanta, but it's still really a home game.
It's basically a home game.
I don't have an opinion. I'll tell you what I do have an opinion on. Over 48 and a half.
Okay.
I will take the over on that.
Okay.
For sure. But I kind of want to take Washington. Because I think Washington's pretty good this year. Yeah, but they both are. I think both these teams could be in the playoff.
I've got another one here. I love Michigan getting points against Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, it's been bouncing between 1 and 1.5 today even.
We've been fading Notre Dame for several years.
I think Harbaugh finally has a legit quarterback. I think this is going to be a coming out party for Michigan.
Tennessee getting 10 against West Virginia. What do you think of that one?
I think Tennessee's so horrible.
Kind of with you.
Yeah.
I can't play that one. You know what? The over under 61.5, West Virginia may do that themselves.
Yep.
Here's one that I find curious. Wyoming's already got a win. Washington State's only a 1.5-point favorite at Wyoming. That, as Granato would say, that feels like a queer line. Shouldn't Washington State be, even on the road, shouldn't it be 5 or 6 in this game?
Yeah, I was going to, maybe 3 or 4.
But yeah, at least that, 1.5 feels too low.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But it also makes me wonder. Oregon minus 32 against Bowling Green.
I'll pass.
You know what I will give you on that?
I want to see Oregon first.
That's another one of those really big spreads, and the over-under is high, but it's not ridiculous for what the spread is. It's right. 74. If Oregon's supposed to win by 32... I'm pretty sure Bowling Green can put up a few points. I'll take the over on that.
Well, how?
Because Oregon could easily put up 75 on their own.
Here's one that I thought was odd, and this involves some brand name teams. In fact, the brand name team, Alabama, minus 24.5, not against, you know, Southern Alabama. It's against Louisville.
Yeah.
And that's a brand name school getting 24.5 points. I don't know that I would. In fact, I may lean against Louisville for that matter because they're a brand name team and people will be like, oh, they're getting 24.5 points and Alabama's just way better than them. But I did find that to be an interesting line just that it's so massive and you're talking about a team that's been in the conversation within the last couple of years.
No Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson's on that team, they're not 24.5
right.
point dogs. But yeah, I don't think I can touch that. I, because you're right, the temptation is to take Alabama, but it's the first game. And 24.5 is a lot of points against what has been a pretty decent, well-coached Power 5 program.
Yep.
I'm seeing Miami at 3.5 now against LSU.
Man, it's getting to be too much.
Yeah, that's at AT&T Stadium. And then the Monday game, Virginia Tech and Florida State. Virginia Tech plus 7.5.
I'd probably go Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I think I feel pretty good about that one, actually. I don't know what Florida State's going to be under Willie Taggart. I guess we'll find out, but I know he's putting in a new offense. And Virginia Tech, it's a solid program, man. And they got their quarterback, which was a concern early on.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go. Just some early college football lines for you guys to ponder, and you're good. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. We'll keep the football talk going. It's the Blitz, and we're both on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1, so wherever you can pick us up best, check us out. We'll be right back.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Live. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a great one. Let me ask, what data do you use in your user program for the first games of the year? I always tell people this is a program that we came up with several years ago, and the base is the Sagarin ratings, which you can get on usatoday.com, and I highly recommend if you just want a tool to look at. They're very good for figuring out spreads, and he'll give you what his ratings say the spread should be for each game. Now, Vegas follows those very closely, so they're usually really close to what the spread is. But what we did was we weighted home field advantage. So, like, home field at Ohio State is much greater than home field at Rice.
Right.
And so in most cases, everybody says 3 points for home field. So this actually weights, like, West Virginia's home field is worth almost 6.5 points, according to this. And okay. So it basically we took...
But how did... I mean, does that... That could change year to year, right?
But it's based on a five-year roll.
Okay.
So each year, it rolls over to the last 5 years, so the numbers change. And so you factor that in with Sagarin, and then there's also... If you start getting cluster injuries, you can punch those in. We won't have those for week one, but like say you have three left tackles injured, that starts factoring in those points. So, but it's basically Sagarin plus a weighted home field advantage. And I've always thought it's just too simplistic to say home field's worth 3 points in college football.
Yeah,
because you go to Michigan and try to play there, it's more than 3 points. You know, you go play, pretty much. Well, I hate to pick on Rice, but you go play at Rice, it's almost an advantage for the visiting team, depending on who the visiting team is. And some teams travel better, and so that factors in as well. So it's kind of a cool little program, and when the spread is like way off on some of these big spreads, like if it's like 9 to 10 points, then it's come in around 70% over the last 5 years. At one point it was close to 90, and now it's about 70. But it has been the last two. Actually, last year it was a loser for the first time in a while. Not the whole system, but the 9-point spread thing. So again, it's just a tool, and it's not. It's like anything else. You never want to rely on just one thing and just say, "Oh, I'm just using this." But it's a pretty cool little thing to have to take a look at and say, "Oh, wait a minute, why is the spread 10 when it should be 22?"
Right.
And if you see something like that, you take a closer look at the game, and maybe you play it, and maybe you don't. So, and it's just something that it's not really for sale. I mean, it's just something that I use as a tool. But I'd recommend if you're going to do something like that, go get the Sagarin ratings and start with those and then apply your own stuff to it. It's a good way to because I know Brad Powers does, or go get Brad Powers' power rankings. Those are real useful,
too. Helps too, yeah.
Yeah, and so I look at all of that stuff. So, 713-780, ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. So maybe we'll save the Texans for 6 o'clock.
I think that's the move.
Yeah, because we got Jerome coming up next segment, and then we got a gym of the day. So where do you want to go from here? Because I got some sportsy stuff. I got some
non-sports. Can we make that move?
Did you see this? Okay. If your son came home and was having to write something out, over and over and over again because his teacher told him to.
Right. Like Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson.
Bart
Simpson on the on the chalkboard.
Yeah. And then you'd have to sign it and send it back. Well, a 10-year-old boy in North Carolina was punished last week because of something he called his female teacher.
Oh boy.
He called her ma'am.
Where did this happen?
North Carolina.
That's weird.
He got in trouble for saying yes, ma'am. And he had to write ma'am over and over again on a piece of paper and have his parents sign it. Now, if your kid did that, I think you'd be a little bit pissed off. Because isn't that what you teach him? Yes, ma'am.
That's
yes,
what
sir.
We teach our
right.
kids to
that's
say.
That's
yeah.
what I taught mine. But apparently, which I think is very respectful.
Yeah.
But the teacher... And not only that, the kid had a seizure-related incident last month that involves memory loss, but just said, yes, ma'am, and apparently the teacher got pissed. So the parents said, hey, wasn't right. It wasn't professional. As a teacher, it wasn't appropriate. They went to the school, met with the school's principal and the teacher, and returned the signed punishment sheet along with the definition of the word ma'am, a term of respect of polite address used for a woman.
Yeah.
And the parent requested that the kid be moved to a different class, which the principal approved. But, dude, if you're a teacher and you're going off on a kid for that.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, you're in the wrong business. You need to go and. Well, I'm not going to say that, but
I actually thought you were going to say this happened somewhere like either in the Northeast or the Northwest.
Yeah, but even there. You know,
that's, it'd be weird.
How can you be offended by that?
But like in the Bible Belt, that like you're hearing ma'am and that's like a.
But I mean, even in the Northwest, how is that even remotely offensive enough for you to make a kid write it 100 times?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I don't know what this teacher's thinking, but frankly, she's in the wrong business. I really want to hear how that's offensive.
Well, I'm going to go, it's not offensive, but I mean, how about just, hey, I prefer not to be called ma'am.
Yeah. And somebody said maybe it was how he said it.
That's possible.
Yeah. Ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might do it. Was the teacher a dude?
It's also a possibility. I think they would have put that in the story.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 936 wants to know if that system helps with marriages. You're asking the wrong dude on that one.
Yeah.
Man, my batting average on marriages is way less than my pick percentage on games. God's Green says, don't talk to me with respect.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, such a weird world we live in right now, man. I don't know what to make of people. And Chris has almost gotten into a fight with a guy for calling him sir.
Really?
Hmm. Interesting.
Why? Oh, so Big Chris called the guy sir?
Yeah.
People get too worked up about this stuff. Like, what's so offensive about that?
I always refer to people as sir.
Yeah. Like, if someone's older than me, unless I know them really well, yes, sir, no, sir. When I talk to Mr. Gal, yes, sir, no, sir.
I've always been that way.
Is that out of line?
No.
What if Mr. Gal was like, you're fired. He called me sir. That could happen to me now. It's 2018, Fred.
You can't be respectful.
I guess not.
Okay, so no more sirs, no more ma'ams. How are we supposed to refer to people? Are we not supposed to be gender specific? Is that the problem?
No. I don't know.
What are we supposed to do? Call them person?
Yeah. Yes, person.
Yes person.
Yes, educator.
Just doesn't sound respectful to me.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yes, you wonderful human being. See, now you sound sarcastic.
Yeah.
At least I do.
Well, maybe they thought that ma'am was sarcastic. My wife grew up in Central Oregon, and nobody says yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. Like, my mother-in-law doesn't like me to say yes, ma'am to her because that's how you talk to, like... It's like you're an old person, like you're calling someone old. Even though, I mean, it's my mother-in-law. She's not 19.
Right.
But yeah, like as soon as I met her, I was calling her ma'am.
Well, that's because...
She was like, I don't like that.
Now, if you called her madame, that would imply old.
It's kind of what I thought.
But yeah. And I guess ma'am is technically short for that. I just found it interesting. Joe says, what annoys me and youngish people get offended by saying ma'am or sir just because they aren't 50 plus in age.
They're not how old? What's the number?
50 plus.
That's when you start calling people ma'am?
I guess. I'm not
offended.
Those
people aren't from Texas.
Honestly, when people call me sir, I think they're being respectful.
Yeah. My kids, if they don't say yes, sir to me, there's a problem.
No, that's how I raised mine. They were yes, sir, yes, ma'am to every adult when they were kids.
Yeah.
You know, now they're teenagers and they're, you know, who cares? But even then, they still do it.
Right.
But I guess you're right. It must just be a regional thing.
Yep. All right, guys. Got to say about Triangle Energy. There are a ton of different energy providers out there, and there's a ton of offers that come from those guys. How about free weekends or free days or cash bonuses? And you're thinking, man, that sounds great. And it does sound great up front. And then a couple months later, you get your bill, and boom, you're paying a higher rate. Or they're tacked on a bunch of additional fees. What kind of nonsense is that? It's the kind of nonsense that Triangle doesn't play. They keep it simple. The rate you see with Triangle, that's the rate you'll pay. There's no gimmicks, no tricks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born in Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get yourself an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
Why don't you open your eyes? You're only fooling yourself.
The most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download.
Wait, I think I messed that up.
The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
Behold the king. The king of kings. Your knees, dog.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Man, everybody going off on this. Somebody says, go teach for a year. I did dig weed for a combined total of about 5 years. So let's go to the phone lines, because that music means it's time for a man I'm proud to call, sir, Jerome Solomon.
Hello, good sir.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Doing all right. What's going on?
Fabulous!
What's up, fella?
Nothing much, man. What are you working on?
Nothing. Relaxing for a day or two. And, you know, I will go out to the Astros tomorrow. I think they might sweep this series to let everybody know they're back in business.
Yeah, they finally have the lineup completely back together, and obviously big win last night. You want to get that first win of the series, right? Because if they get even one of the next two, you're in pretty good shape moving forward.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And when I was going to say, when you got Garrett Cole out there, you want to win those. But with almost anybody they roll out there, they want to win and feel like they have an advantage when they're starting pitchers out there. But the way Cole has been all season, you know, when you step out there, if you're going to score a few runs, you should have that game in hand. And they scored a lot more, and he gave up more than he usually gives up. But that's a good start to the series. And yeah, it's they know how good they can be, and they still feel it, and they've been that good. It's just the Red Sox are acting like, you know, they invented the game or something. It's a little nutty.
Yeah, but we know when you get to a 5 or 7 game series, it's a different animal, and I guess it would be a 7 game series the way it's shaping up now. So, but still, you got to feel pretty good about where this team is when everybody's out there.
Definitely. I mean, I think they're the best team, and when they're healthy and everybody's out there, and that's what I expect them to show once the playoffs start. But as R.J. Bell has already said, you know, when everybody knows the playoffs are just coin flips all the way through. So there's no like, oh, you're going to win. It's like, well, we'll see what happens when it gets there. But getting the playoffs is the first thing, and they'll definitely be there.
Well, college football cranking up this week. I know you got to be excited about that, as excited as we are.
Oh, man, what do you mean this week? I was at it Rice and TV last Saturday.
Stop. Mm. No one's counting that, Jerome.
The season's already started, man. You're a little late.
No, not
quite the same. Yeah, it finally kicks off. Yeah, and that's every year when college football starts, that's when you're, okay, now you can get into having some fun and get into it. And I think that it seems like with other sports, you know, you lose, as you get a little older, you lose a little of the passion, but college football, man, I can still watch every snap, you know, of several games in a weekend, you know, and that's something you don't get as much with the other sports, it seems, at least not for me anyway. But college football is still pretty cool. I mean, the big picture of it, the NCAA and the coaches the way they are, it's all crap. But the pageantry and the games, still fun.
Favorite game this week? I'm excited about Washington Auburn. Is that at the top of your list, or you got something else?
Yeah, that one I like a lot. I mean, but Rice and Houston, man. Why do you keep dissing Rice?
Get out of here.
Did you really see that game?
What's that?
Were you really at that game?
Yeah, I was.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I was at the Rice TV game. I'll be at the Rice U League game. I support my local university.
Jerome, they don't.
Unlike you haters of Houston teams.
They don't pay you enough to cover Rice Prairie View.
Dude, it was dead meat, man. There was nothing happening. Texas were out of town. There was nothing else going on. So I was like, all right, I'll be there, you know. I needed something to write for Sunday and didn't have anything, you know. It was one of those. They actually wanted me to weigh in on Urban Meyer. I was like, I don't have the energy. You know, I was just tired. So over that by then, anyway, for sure. It turned out to be a great game. I mean, it was Rice had a 16-0 lead, then they were down by 9, and they caught up and won on a field goal as time expired. That's as entertaining as you could ask for out of a Rice game.
Let's say competitive game, not great game. How's that?
Yeah,
entertaining.
Edit. delete.
So, okay, how about Michigan Notre Dame? What are your thoughts on that? That's probably the other kind of sexy game. Well, I would say that and probably LSU Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I'm real interested in Michigan just in general. I mean, it's time for Harbaugh to start delivering a little bit more than he has to this point, other than the sizzle. You know, you want to see some steak. And LSU, I think they're always loaded, and I just don't believe in my man as a head coach. You know, nothing against him, love him, great guy, but I don't know if he's going to be the guy to be able to carry them to anything special. And games like this, you know, is where it starts, because you get in the SEC, you're going to lose a couple unless you're just loaded and coach well and play well every weekend. And, you know, and that's just not what I expect from them. But it's with those players, as deep as they are, LSU should always be in the hunt. And we always say when they get a quarterback, and they're telling me they have a quarterback. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to remain skeptical until I actually see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like with the Texans quarterback. You remain skeptical until they actually went out and did something for real, and you're like, okay, Deshaun Watson is legitimate. So,
a couple of things I want to ask you about the Texans. I think we talked about this last week about how I didn't expect some of the guys who were playing corner for them to still be on the. I thought that one of their cornerbacks was not yet on the roster, and they signed Kayvon Webster. Do you feel like, is there another position where there's a guy that's not on the roster yet that they're probably going to claim somebody or pick somebody up after cuts, maybe offensive line?
Yeah, see, it depends on how many offensive linemen they keep, you know, but if they keep 9, they'll have a guy on the team that will not be as good as some of the guys that will be on the street come Friday afternoon, you know? I mean, that has to be the case.
Kendall Lamb comes to mind.
Yeah, Kendall Lamb.
I don't think Kendall Lamb makes a team.
If he makes the team, they're not trying to put together a good offensive line. I mean, he's just not good enough to be on the team, and they should have done enough to get him off of it. So I don't anticipate he'll make it. I do think that last spot might go to David Quisenberry. That's a tricky one. You know, it's a great story and an amazing, you know, battle for him to get back to where he is and even be on the field at all. But is he good enough to be on your team? Is he better than what you can pick up along the way? And, I mean, at best, their line is going to be average at best. And with an injury or two, and you will have an injury or two, most likely the line goes to awful pretty quickly. And they have to, you know, I think they're going to shore that up with a body or two, and that's that was kind of one of the things that Rick Smith did well. He was able to pick guys up who were from other places and find spots for them on this team. We'll see if Brian Gain pulls the trigger on one of those in the next week or so.
Did you get a chance to watch much of Martinez Rankin on Saturday? Because he sure played an awful lot for a guy who'd been out since OTAs.
I watched the replay, and then I realized they weren't playing football. I mean, I knew they weren't, but it was not even enough fake football for me to even watch. I was like, why am I doing this to myself? I mean, we've always known that, you know, preseason is junk, but, you know, the game three used to at least be a game where you got a full half of guys actually playing, and the Rams didn't even want to do that. I'm like, damn, well, why are we even here, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's hard to watch, but I'm kind of with them on that, and I was okay with the Texans let those guys get a little contact and then get them the hell out of there. Just like I was okay with the Rams saying, you know what, Jared Goff's ready for the season. Let's not take any chances.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't argue with it as a strategy. I can just argue with it as life forced me to watch it, you know. And since I didn't have to go there to be there to watch it, I wasn't going to do it to myself, you know. I mean, I went to the first preseason game because, you know, that's what the job required me to be there. And I don't know if I've been to a worse football game. I had no interest in anything that was happening on the field. And with the rosters at 95% of the play on the field is by players who will not be on the team. So it's not even like, oh, well, these are the backups. But no, the backups are barely even playing. These are people, this is not the third string playing, because in the NFL there is no third string. There's a first and a second team, and that's it. It does nothing for anybody except for their families.
Do you think the going to the one cut thing has basically had them using all these guys who are going to be on the street instead of? Because when you cut sooner, you had to play some of your guys.
Yeah, you had to, because you were gonna injure your backups if you didn't. You know, you didn't have as many guys. So, and coaches have been smarter about it. They're like, okay, we'll stretch this out, and we can. But what are they working on? I mean, why are you even playing, you know, with so many guys that, you know, aren't doing anything? And Bill O'Brien has said stuff like, you know, they're working on getting the plays in and out. And, you know, it's the first game for the coaches, too. We've got to communicate on the sideline and all of that. And I get that. But, you know, I don't know if the team gets any value from a preseason game. Especially a team that's kind of already set. You know what I mean? I think before as much as they do in the off season, before the first preseason game is kicked off, what, probably 51 of the 53 spots are spoken for pretty much. The coaches know who it is, you know. So a guy has to play himself out of it. So we play four preseason games to find the last two guys on the roster for most teams. I don't see where it's worth it.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Always a pleasure, Jerome. And enjoy that big showdown Thursday night between the Texans and Cowboys.
It'll be a thriller. All right, fellas, catch you later.
All right, it's Jerome Solomon. We're going to take a quick break, come back. I got a gym of the day, of course. In my cubicle. I like this song. It's one of my favorite local songs we play. It's just goofy. I love it. 713-780-ESPN, your number. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. In a tiny way, in my cubicle, where I wrote
this, what I'm saying, in my cubicle, where I wrote this. This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Check out SportsMap.com today. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. There's a lot of good stuff on there, including Cody Stutes' 53-man roster projection, which we'll discuss. I think he disputes a couple things that Jerome said. We'll do that at 6 o'clock. Charlie Polillo's video on Alex Bregman has become maybe the most important Astro. And we also have our Big 12 and SEC reports, so go and check it out.
You agree with that?
I think it's easy to forget about the little guy since he's been gone for so many games.
Yep.
I still think, and I heard Charlie talking about this a little bit today. It's like if you were, you know, if everybody was a free agent and you could only keep one, then he would keep Bregman. It's like, I'm still pretty sure I'd take Altuve, and I don't think I'm ready to throw Correa out of that conversation yet. But he ain't any farther down than that.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I mean, I think Justin Verlander's pretty damn important.
Yeah, well, it's hard. I guess you just got to define it as position player because you can't really compare what Justin Verlander does to what those guys do.
Well, if the only guy I would say is slam dunk ahead of him is Altuve.
Yeah, after that, it's very debatable.
I mean, this season he's been up there amongst the most important.
He certainly surpassed Springer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this season.
He might have done that last year.
Just this season he surpassed Springer and Correa.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's... A career isn't defined by one season.
No. And,
unless you're like Brady Anderson.
Well, it's year two, so we'll see. But he's turned into a damn good player. There's no question. But overall, Altuve, I'm not ready to do that yet. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. We go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where Chattanooga police say an officer unintentionally fired his department-issued firearm 3 times, hitting a person. The person had just committed suicide. The incident happened around 11:35 a.m. Sunday morning when officers arrived and told a person who was acting suicidal to put down a handgun. The person then shot and killed themselves. The officer then accidentally fired 3 rounds, hitting a chair twice and the leg of the person. All officers on the scene are now on leave per policy. The hell did the chair do? It was just sitting there.
Conspiracy theory time. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's hear it. Frogs are gay! Sorry.
The guy did not kill himself. The cop killed him. And to make it look like he didn't, he came up with this story and fired a couple extra rounds and shot the dead guy.
Well, wouldn't you be able to... Ballistics will be able to match the bullet that he killed himself with, certainly. So it would not necessarily match the gun. It wouldn't match the gun of the police officer who shot him in the leg.
What if I came up to you, you've gun drawn, and I said, drop the weapon, and... Let's say you drop the weapon because you have like a realization, man, I don't want to kill myself. Then I pick up that gun, I shoot you in the head, drop that gun after wiping my prints off. Then I walk back a few feet and shoot you up.
Because then they'll do the gunshot residue thing on the guy's hand.
On the cop?
No, on the guy who shot himself. If there's no residue, then he didn't shoot the gun.
That's true.
Listen, man, I watch a lot of Law and Order. I know how this stuff works. It would be very hard to pull something like this off.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
It could be. I mean, you could, obviously, because, hey, that's... how conspiracy theories work. What you'd have to do is you would have to put the gun in the guy's hand, hold it to his head, pull the trigger so he shoots himself. Then yeah. The cop did. But then why would you cover it up by accidentally shooting him?
Yeah, that's a weird move.
Yeah, you would basically just tell the guy to shoot himself in the head. But that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the chair. 832 says, chair lives matter, Fred. If that was a sofa, it wouldn't have been shot. Yeah, I mean, imagine the poor chair is just sitting there going, you know, minding its own business. And it takes 2 bullets for somebody who's already dead.
Hey, by the way, did you know that last night was another championship ring night?
Yeah, I did. It's like the 4th one.
Is my fake championship ring losing value?
What value does it have other than something cool for your kid?
I thought it was like $1 million on eBay.
No, it's like $42 on eBay. It'll be down to 10 before you know it. Well, that's a popular promotion. People love them. And I'll be interested to see how many fans they get tonight.
Yeah.
Without having that. What bothers me a little.
I mean, they should have a bunch of fans tonight. I mean, it's.
Well, this is a big series, man.
And I think this is the first time they scheduled this thing where the team is actually really good. Because I think when they actually scheduled this one, the one from last night,
yeah,
the A's were like, you know, far back of the Astros. So, you know, they're doing this to get people in that two games that, you know, normally won't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
But I forget who it even was that I went to see where I got a championship.
I think it was the Rays.
Rays?
Yeah, Tampa was the last one.
I don't think it was Tampa because they didn't have like the weird starting pitching thing.
Was it the Padres?
I think that's who it was.
Were the Padres here this year?
Yeah, they were here.
Damn, I must have slept through that.
I think I think the Astros dropped 2 of 3 from them. I think the series that the Padres they gave away the ring. I think it was at that weird grounder dribbler, and then Bregman hit the dribbler, and then he ran to first and got hit or something. I think that was that series.
I was at Astros A's.
So this is the second time they've
done it. Second time they've done it for an A's.
Very disrespectful to the A's.
Really is.
Interesting.
Do you know who the hottest Astro is since the All-Star break?
You mean physically hottest?
No. Statistically.
Because I still think it's George Springer. Very attractive man.
Hmm.
Tyler White?
Marwin?
Yeah, Marwin Gonzalez. Yeah, Marwin. He's hitting... Yeah. Since the All-Star break, he's hitting .316.
Yeah, he hasn't been a total dumpster.
Eight home runs, 20. The other guy that is on the opposite end, Evan Gattis, he's hitting .208 since the All-Star break.
Yeah, he was hot for a little while. He's been like a sandwich of garbage, and like he had a good little run, and then garbage again.
You know who's been pretty damn good is Tyler White.
Not been bad.
Yeah.
What's crazy about Marwin is like... What did you say he's hit since the All-Star break?
He is hitting .316.
That ups his average to .254.
Yep. At the All-Star break, his batting average was at .230.
Man, that's crazy. Well, I mean, he was just awful.
Yeah, he's almost respectable now. If he can keep doing this, get around .265, .270. That's
not bad
for him. You'll take that.
Power numbers are down a little from last year, but
everybody's power numbers are down from last year. I think they stopped juicing the balls.
Yeah, and he's not like I don't think he's like a special defender, but he's at least a versatile defender.
Mark Berman tweeted this out. AJ Hinch says Brian McCann is back and ready to go, leaning towards activating him Saturday when rosters expand.
Okay. So that means they may still keep Stassi on the roster?
Well, after September 1st, they can.
Yeah. Right?
So that makes sense. And then you can just decide who to use when you get to the playoffs.
Yep. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Bill Advisor Insurance. If you own your home, you need to listen up. Our friends over at Bill Advisor, they're about to deliver big savings on your home insurance. Shopping for a better deal on your policy, it's always been a pain. It used to take hours to get yourself a reliable quote. Then someone came along and made it 15 minutes to save a few percent. Bill Advisor, they're different. Their new system is even faster, and you're probably going to save a ton of money. They're going to deliver you a firm insurance quote in 15 seconds using nothing but a text message. Really simple to do this. Grab your phone right now. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You send that back. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. We're talking about real savings, guys. The average homeowner saving over $790 a year. It's real coverage with real savings, real fast. It's 2018. No one has 15 minutes anymore. Bill Advisor finds you savings in 15 seconds. This is the new way to shop and save big on your home insurance. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote from Bill Advisor.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth.